Isn't that true, Bernard?
I suppose that, yes, no, I guess that is true, yes.
Yeah?
It was something I did take on back in 1965.
Right.
And a few years after that, yeah.
Right. Okay. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine.
Okay, cool. You know, it's a great honor to be talking to you.
Well, it's a great privilege to be introduced to your viewers and listeners. I'm very pleased at that thought.
Right.
If I say viewers, I'm referring to your site.
Okay. Right. So, so Bernard, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I'd be happy to talk about where ESP is now and where it's going.
Great. Great.
If it interests you.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, we're going to be putting out a box set of Giuseppe Logan, both of his discs together, because I think has not really been heard, and I believe he's late Giuseppe Logan. I think he should be heard. We've lost track of him. We have some Frank Wright material coming out.
Okay.
Momentarily. And we've reissued Charles Manson in a far larger format.
Uh-huh.
So we're going in a number of different directions, but the consistent theme to it all is that we try to put out things that musicians will find and the public will find inspiring and provocative and that will get them to do some more creativity in their own lives, to use this material to prompt them to look within themselves for their own creativity.
Okay. All right. And, you know, I've been aching to ask you a very important question. You know, you founded ESP in
64 or 65, about that time.
64, 65, and then you operated the label, and it was shut down in 1974?
Technically, yes. Actually, it closed down after 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
I kept right on going. I was so incredibly dense that I didn't appreciate the fact that we'd been put out of business by bootleggers, and I kept right on trying for another 6 years.
Right.
I can't explain how anyone would be as obtuse as I was, but it is the truth. We had 3 years of operation.
Okay.
The story is told on our website, ESP,
yeah.
May I tell you that? ESPDISK.com.
Yeah. Okay.
And I can tell you another thing, Tommy, you just asked me about where ESP is going. We're emerging into, we're becoming a film company.
Yeah, right, right.
You know about that. Several feature films pending, and we have a website called Dragon Slayer Films, all one word.
Dragon Slayer Films.
.com.
Yeah, right. Is it your company? Is it ESP
really.
Company? All right.
Yes, we're merging into this company.
Okay.
So we'll be recordings and also feature films and documentaries.
Okay.
So our scope and our scale is rapidly expanding right now. I will always be interested, of course, in innovation
right.
and artists who have something important and new and interesting to say. And we're not an entertainment entity, obviously.
Okay. Right.
But we hope we are useful to people who love music around the world.
Right.
We hope that they find us stimulating and we hope to continue doing what we're doing now for a long time to come.
Yeah. Okay. And I wanted to ask you, like, what the label ESP has not been functioning for 30 years, I think. Like, you founded the label, operated it, and closed it down before even I was born. So, what gave the impetus to start again?
Well, the label never, the music never totally, was never totally lost because we did license the catalog
yeah,
to various
of course.
Companies over the years. And I returned to manufacturing just a year and a half ago because, frankly, I thought we could do a much better job and much more, we could improve the quality of the music that was being put out because technically it was not that good, frankly, the people were careless with it. And so we thought we should take charge of our own music and we found we could do so. So for about a year and a half, we've been reissuing our catalog and issuing some new material.
Right.
And now, as I say, we're gravitating, we're emerging, we're metamorphosing into a film company.
Right.
And so you'll see that story, and I hope you will follow us. We certainly welcome your listeners to keep track of what we're doing, and we try to publicize that information as we go. But you'll find several interesting records, I think, coming out of the next few months.
Right.
From EFC artists, established artists, some raw material, for example, some issues and reissues and some new material from Sun Ra.
Right.
And I'd like to put the Mars Ed record out again, and we have an awful lot of records that are kind of waiting to be reissued. The Thugs, we had a group called the Thugs.
Right.
And we're putting out a box set of them, complete with posters and memorabilia from their earliest days. So I think you'll see that we have had a renaissance, and I think that even as the industry goes through all these huge changes, metamorphosis into something that where your blogs are quite a wonderful development, and downloads is quite wonderful too. Although the record companies do moan about and groan about it,
right?
I think it's inevitable, and I think the more opportunities exist for people to be able to hear this music, mm-hmm. the better off, you know, we'll all be. And is there anything else I can tell you?
Right. And how has been the public response to the re-editions and new releases, etc.?
I can say this to you. distributors all over the world are importing our music, our records.
Right.
Selling to that audience that is already aware of us.
Mm-hmm.
The records are selling, they're reordering, they're paying their bills, which is very important, of course.
Right.
And we're very happy about that. But we think we're going to have an extraordinary expansion period over the next 12 months. We'll be hearing an awful lot more about us and the music that we're putting out, much of which I can't talk about yet because we haven't announced it.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be some, I think, some very exciting surprises as we go.
Okay.
Just please stay tuned.
Oh, okay, that's
I'll
cool.
Put it that way. And thanks a lot for putting Albert Eiler and Spiritual Unity on your blog. I think it's very thoughtful of you, and we appreciate it.
Right, it's a beautiful cover. I was just, it's a fascinating cover, the Spiritual Unity cover.
The artwork was done by the artist that worked for us 35 years ago. We found them again,
mm-hmm.
and we're using some of their graphics today.
All right.
For continuity, I think.
All right. Okay. Cool. And would you like to tell us more about the Dragon Slayer films that you mentioned?
The Dragon Slayer films is basically a partnership between myself and my label is joining it to put out a series of feature films. The first will be The Life and Legacy of Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're planning a feature film on the life of Chet Baker.
Okay.
We're doing a documentary on Muscle Shoals,
mm-hmm.
To be produced by the man who put Standing in the Shadow of Motown, a very wonderful documentary film. He's doing this Muscle Shoals film. We've been asked to do the story of the life of Tupac Shakur, the life and death of Tupac Shakur.
Okay, yeah.
And there are a number of film projects that are coming at us right very, very quickly. And you'll be reading more about them as we go farther. But our website, there are a series of press releases on the Dragon Slayer Films website, dragonslayerfilms.com website, that will tell essentially what's going on right now.
Okay, dragonslayerfilms.com.
Dragonslayerfilms.com, yeah.
Okay.
And so I think that would be interesting, and we have a press release coming out this coming week, which I think would be raising a lot of eyebrows. We're auditioning for someone to play Jimmy.
Okay.
We're talking to several famous directors. We started with Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
We're not yet certain, nor is he, whether we should go ahead with it. But we have had discussions with him about it, and there are other very prominent directors who are interested in doing it. We'll have these stories coming on our site, and the media, and the press, over the next several weeks. So. I'm very pleased with this because I think it represents an opportunity for ESP to grow and expand its catalog, and perhaps make it more varied.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not lost my interest in the new music, of course.
Right.
And if any of your listeners are, in fact, in that sector and are being creative in that regard, let them contact us. May I give my email address?
Okay.
They can send samples if they want to ESP Disc. Post Office Box 1261, 10009.
Right.
New York 100009.
Yeah, I think this information can be found on the ESP website.
Our address can be found on the website. Yeah.
Okay.
But we have not actively, until now, really opened the doors to innovative new artists.
Okay.
But we're reaching out to Europe right now, and we're having conversations with some European composers whom we've been interested in the past. But when ESP shut down, we lost that connection. We're putting out Norman Howard now, Norman Howard and Joseph Phillips, we had planned to release in 1974, but the company went out.
Norman Howard.
Norman Howard is a Clevelander.
Yeah, okay, right.
Not prominent, but he made some magnificent recordings with Albert Eiler. And
yeah, he did.
Of that same scene. And this, with the record we had planned to release then, we're putting it out now.
Okay.
Somewhat late.
Yeah.
But the music has aged very well,
yeah.
We think. And we think it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't talk too much about what's about to happen.
Okay.
Because you can't discuss things until they're formalized and they're ready to go.
Right.
It's immature, I think, perhaps.
Okay.
But I'm very happy, Taryn, that you were interested enough to call me.
Well, it's an honor to me.
And I'm happy to hear from your viewers.
Okay.
Very happy to receive samples from your listeners.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. You know what? In the studio, I have this partner of mine who is a poet, writes free jazz poetry, and he loves Jimi Hendrix and Rolling Stones and all. And he's aching to ask you a question. En français, is that all right?
Sure, of course.
Okay.
Oui, bonsoir. J'aimerais savoir s'il est au courant de bandes qui auraient été enregistrées par Jimi Hendrix et avec les Stones. Ça, c'est la première question. Et la deuxième question, c'est comment Jimi Hendrix voyait-il le jazz? Est-ce qu'il s'intéressait au jazz?
Un par un. On va. Did you get the first question, Bernard?
I didn't hear very clearly. But would you repeat it in English?
The first question was if you are aware of Jimi Hendrix's performances with the Rolling Stones.
Not at all. No, I wasn't aware that he performed with the Rolling Stones.
No? Okay.
No,
Est-ce qu'on a des bandes qui existent? Oui.
Il paraît qu'il y a des bandes qui existent d'un concert du Madison Square Garden où ils ont joué ensemble avant que les Stones entrent en scène.
Ah, ok. There exists a recording of them playing together on the Madison Square. C'était quoi, Madison Square?
Au Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden, New York.
Yes, I'm aware of such an appearance where Jimmy couldn't play because someone gave him some LSD.
Ah, okay.
Is that the same performance?
Ben, Jimi Hendrix n'a pas pu jouer parce que quelqu'un lui a donné LSD. C'était pas ça?
Oui, il y a une histoire. En fait, il est venu en fait dans les loges des Rolling Stones. Il a jamais avec eux, mais on dit qu'il y a eu un enregistrement qui a été fait à ce moment-là.
Ah, okay. In fact, yeah, he couldn't. It's the same story. But apparently, Jimi Hendrix played with the Rolling Stones in the back rooms. And there was apparently there's a recording. This sort of a rumor that there's a recording of that.
Well, juste avant sa mort, il était, comment dit-on, il a fait un accord avec Mick Jagger en 1970. Il devait commencer une entreprise, a recording studio. They were going to open a recording studio.
Okay.
Et malheureusement, Jimmy est mort. Subitement.
Right.
Nous suggérons qu'il était he was killed.
He was killed.
But Mick Jagger saurait si telle bande existait et he's very sympathetic, très sympa en concernant notre projet pour le film.
Okay.
Et on peut bien demander de lui s'il est au courant de telle bande en effet existe All right. And I thank you for the suggestion. We will inquire.
Right.
We'll try to find out from Mick Jagger what he knows, may know about
okay.
that.
Okay. Right. Ils vont essayer de voir avec Mick Jagger parce qu'il apprécie leur effort pour de produire le film sur Jimi Hendrix. Alors il peut facilement lui demander s'il est au courant.
Ça peut être intéressant effectivement.
Ouais.
La deuxième question c'était par rapport au jazz entre Jimi Hendrix et le jazz. Est-ce que c'est une musique qui l'intéressait? Est-ce qu'il l'écoutait? Parce qu'on le connaît parce que c'est un grand guitariste de rock et de blues, mais est-ce qu'il avait une oreille sur le jazz, Jimi Hendrix?
Bernard, if you're aware of Jimi Hendrix being interested in the new music, the free jazz or whatever.
Yes, je suis tout à fait au courant. J'en suis tout à fait au courant. En effet, un jour, je suis allé faire une visite à son manager, Michael Jeffries. J'ai fait un rendez-vous avec lui à son bureau. Et quand je suis arrivé, Jimmy m'attendait.
Mm-hmm.
Je connaissais, mais pas bien. Et il m'a secoué la main, il m'a dit, Bernard, he said, I want to tell you, he said, how much I admire what you're doing with the ESP disc.
All right.
And I was very touched. And then I went in to see Michael Jeffries.
Okay.
Il était assis dans une chambre très sombre, il avait de la lumière, mais he would not look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Il n'a pas me regardé et j'ai dit merci bien de me donner cette interview. Je vous dirai pourquoi je suis venu. Et c'est que je crois bien que Jimmy serait bien disposé, très disposé de faire jouer dans le mode de jazz. Il est très jazziste. Et je connais tous ces musiciens avec qui il pourrait commencer ce projet. Et je serais très reconnaissant si vous me donneriez votre accord pour commencer ça.
Oh, you mean you wanted Jimi Hendrix to record something like in the jazz style on ESP?
He was under contract.
Okay.
No, I wanted him to play, this is in 1979, I wanted him to be introduced to and play with the musicians with whom I knew, not for recording this necessarily.
All right.
But just I wanted to share an introduction to some our musicians because I knew he would find them very inspiring.
Okay, who do you have in mind?
Well, I was thinking of Alan Silva and the various musicians I knew who were with ESP during that time.
All right.
There was a whole community of them, actually.
Okay.
And it wasn't any one particular one. I just wanted to see what I could set in motion.
Yeah, okay.
And he didn't look at me. He still didn't look at me. And he said, not interested.
Okay. Okay.
It was the end of my interview.
All right. Okay.
So much fun. But I had a farm in the Catskill Mountains, Acorn Hill House. And Jimmy lived down the road. He stayed down the road from my place.
Okay.
And Juma Sultan, who played with him on his last recording, the Band of Gypsies recording, Juma Sultan, his percussionist and bass player, Juma was living in my farm. He was a tenant of mine. And Jimmy would come by. In fact, he recorded in my living room at one point with Michael Efron and Juma, a tape which never surfaced legally or officially. It was a bootleg somehow.
Okay. Do you have the recording?
I'm sorry?
Do you have the recording?
No.
Okay.
I'm told it's not very good at all.
Okay.
It wasn't an inspired move.
All right.
But I had a barn, and the musicians would come, and they would play in the barn, and I had an engineer living in my premises, Ernest Holte, exquisitely talented, gifted, and major serious Dutch engineer who worked for Philips Phonograph at the time. He'd come to live and stay and live on my farm, and he created a small studio there, and so he was recording these musicians for themselves in the barn. So there were, at one point, there were 12 or 14 musicians gathered in the barn who recorded, who were playing, and I heard the tape. The tape was brought to me.
Okay.
And in the distance, in the background, you hear Jimmy, not playing with the ensemble, just plink, plink, plink. Obviously, he was listening to what they were doing, feeling it, and trying to figure out exactly how he might integrate his own ideas into this ensemble.
Okay.
And that is a great challenge for him, but he was a spontaneous, free improvisation musician, and one of the greatest because the Star Spangled Banner, as he did it to me, is one of Hallmark, one of the greatest pieces of spontaneous, if you will, improvisation music I've ever heard.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
Right.
So he had the ability. He just didn't have the exposure, that much exposure.
Okay.
To the new idiom.
Okay. All right.
I think he would have become a formidable musician in this genre.
Okay.
Had he lived.
All right.
I think so.
All right. I'll just give the gist of it to my friend here. Oui, il a dit que oui, bah, il y a une, Bernard Stallman a eu un entretien avec Jimi Hendrix où Jimi Hendrix lui a dit que j'apprécie beaucoup ce que vous faites avec ESP Records, les enregistrements que vous faites. Et Bernard Stallman voulait, comment dire, intéresser Jimi Hendrix à jouer avec ses musiciens, les musiciens qui ont enregistré dans ce style, ce genre.
D'accord.
Mais il n'était pas intéressé. Mais après, ils se sont croisés plusieurs fois chez Bernard ou ailleurs avec d'autres musiciens.
Ça prouve qu'il avait quand même une oreille sur les jazz.
Voilà, il était intéressant et intéressé. Ok. Ouais.
J'avais juste une deuxième question, ce sera ma dernière question. Ouais. Quand il a fondé son label, c'était quand même à une époque où il n'y avait pas beaucoup de labels de musique créative, on va dire.
Mm-hmm.
Comment ça s'est passé, la fondation de ce label, par rapport aux grosses majors, etc., jazz?
Bernard, ESP Records, wasn't it the first independent record label, like, ever?
I can't say that categorically. I would say this. It is the longest surviving label. There were certainly other labels at that over this that time during the period.
Right.
And it was probably the first label which focused on free improvisation.
Right.
That sector of jazz that followed the bebop era.
Okay.
So in that sense, I guess you could say we were the first of that nature, focusing on that sector.
Okay.
And we are the last surviving one of the independent ones from that period.
All right. And yeah, okay. And my friend wanted to know how it happened, like in the you founded the label and then how you managed it. But then for this, I'll advise him to look at your interview on allaboutjazz.com, because it's a very comprehensive.
That interview was quite complete, quite extensive. Yes.
Yeah. Quite comprehensive, like with Clifford Allen.
Yes. I have to edit it. Unfortunately, he published it exactly the way I spoke, which was not very concise and not very.
Yeah.
I wouldn't describe it as one of my most eloquent.
It's a good one. It's very comprehensive. Like it talks about like everything, how you started the label, when you started the label, why you started the label, how you recorded some artists, and then how some artists were not very nice to you, and then how it like you ran out of money and all, like everything, and then how you came back. It's a very comprehensive, good one.
I'm glad you found it and that you've read this. I hope others will find it.
Yeah, and this is to all the listeners who are curious about the ESP story, about the Bernard Stallman and ESP story, should have a look at the Clifford Allen interview of Bernard Stallman on allaboutjazz.com. And Bernard, I think we should play some music now.
Very good.
Before we get back to talking.
Sure.
Okay. Let's listen to some music.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Okay. Alright, Bernard. Alright, Bernard, we are on air. You're gonna have to answer that question again. Okay? Okay, we're back. Toujours sur Terence Free Jazz Hour sur Radio G101.5 FM de Angers, France. On parle avec Bernard Stolman, le fondateur de ESP Records, et ESP is back avec un nouvelle dimension. Ce n'est pas seulement une maison de disques, mais aussi une compagnie de films qui vont faire un film sur Jimi Hendrix pour commencer. Bernard, you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, cool. Yes. I had a question. A friend of mine actually wanted this question answered. There was the Albert Eiler concert on at the Fondation Meg. Filmed.
August 1970, yes.
Right, it was filmed. And we were just curious if you had any designs on releasing that as a film.
We have every intention of putting it out as a film. This will, of course, depend on approval and support from the May Foundation.
Okay.
We're hopeful that we will be able to persuade them.
All right. Have you already gotten in touch with them?
We have. I've spoken twice with them now, and we're trying. We shall make very serious efforts now.
Okay.
To persuade them to do it.
All right. Okay. Cool. Are they nice people?
Oh yes, they're charming. They're very, very, very pleasant people. But of course, you know, it's a museum. They're a museum, and they're okay. Extremely careful. And we must now persuade them that it's an appropriate and proper thing to do.
Okay. Cool.
Yes,
cool.
We have work to do.
Cool. And to continue a bit with Albert Eiler on the album Spiritual Unity, I've heard a friend of mine told me that there's a Japanese issue of it which has a different version of Ghosts or some other number, I'm not sure, but there's a number on it, there's a composition which has a different version of it.
Well, if they want to send us a copy of that, we would be happy to look to check it and see if there's any. I've heard this rumor over the years, but we have not been able to confirm that there are two different versions. I can't imagine why there would be. We didn't, as far as I know, we didn't edit it. We didn't leave any material out. What people have heard is about 27 minutes, a very short album.
Okay.
And I believe it's the same, but I can't state that categorically. But if any of your listeners have such a Japanese version and want us to check it, I'll be very happy to get back to you after we've examined it.
Okay.
And find out whether there's anything to that. So far, I haven't found out.
Okay. All right. Okay, but you've heard about it before.
I heard, yes.
Okay.
The rumors have circulated over the years, but
mm-hmm.
we have not pursued them.
Okay.
We'd be happy, though, if anybody could tell us that there was another version.
Right.
We put them both out.
Yeah. And there's a suggestion from my friend. You know, I have a friend lives in France, and he saw Albert Eiler when my friend was 14 years of age. And that was the moment when he really got hooked on this thing called free jazz. And he suggested, why not release all the Albert Eiler recordings on ESP Records as a box set?
Well, as you know, there is a box set which is not authorized by us or by the family, by the Eiler family. It's in existence now in Revenant Records. I think it's about 9 records, and we're just about to sue them. About to go into court.
Which one is that? Which one is that?
The Revenant box set.
Okay, but they are not ESP recordings? I mean,
No, they're not. But there's one that belongs to us. They put out by, I think, perhaps by mistake.
Okay.
It's ours.
Right.
It's the second half of the Prophecy session.
Okay.
Cafe, and they put that out, but they shouldn't have. But in any case, we hope to settle it with them. But right now, we have to sue them.
Right. Okay. All right. But then, how about?
As far as I'm doing the box set, I think it's a very good idea, and mm-hmm. I'm sure we will
Yeah, okay. Because I think that will really rid you of all the false recordings that are circulating like everywhere.
I think it's an excellent idea, Karen, yeah. And we will do so. I'm sure we will.
Okay, cool. All right.
You prompted, you inspired me. we've been giving it some thought, and I think we really should not wait very long before we do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right, cool. And what else, Bernard?
Yes.
Yeah, is there anything else you would like to tell us about?
About ESP?
About the ESP records, yeah.
About ESP records, no. I'm just very pleased to be able to inform you that we're doing very well.
Mm-hmm, that's cool.
In our new existence.
Mm-hmm.
And that we hope to please or bring pleasure and interest to people who are already aware of us. And if people haven't heard our records or are not aware of us,
right.
Please look up our website and consider our slogan, "The Artist Alone Decides,"
right.
Which you will hear on their ESP disc. Because we do give complete freedom and latitude to the artists to do whatever, once we've selected them, to do whatever they think is most representative of their talent and the music they're most interested in presenting. And they do so; they produce their own records. We don't get in the way,
right.
In the middle. Other companies now have, I think, picked up on this idea, and I think it's much more widespread than it was when we started.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it's a good idea that artists should be given complete latitude to do whatever they see best.
Okay. The artists decide what you'll hear on this ESP disc.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, that is true.
Okay. All right.
That's about all I can tell you right now, but I hope you'll contact me again, Darren, from time to time, and I'll be very happy to, you know, bring up to
all right.
report on the things I can't talk about just now.
Okay. All right.
Some things are just weeks and months away, but
yeah.
I think it's not a good idea to talk about things until
they realize and
ready to
expose
to the public.
And I just, like, just before coming to the studio, I had a look at the website, and I saw that there are quite a few new additions made to the catalog. I've, like, things that I'd never heard about, like The Machine, and there are some other, like, very obscure recordings that have appeared on the website.
Well, you'll be hearing much more about them, I think. They're all available for download now.
Okay.
The catalog
is
available from all the major companies, from iTunes to eMusic, all in MusicNet, Real Networks, Napster. They all have our catalogs up there for download.
Right.
So a person can pick any one song they like or any record they may be curious about and download it.
Okay.
And we provide some sound samples, but they're rather brief and mediocre. Our sound samples, we have to improve it.
Right.
I think we'll probably revise our website so people can hear much longer and better selections from the catalog and better presented. Also, we're going to start issuing samplers now. Physically and on the web, so people can buy at relatively modest cost selections from 20 or 30 albums at a time.
Really?
Become familiarized with the label. And with the new technologies, the DVD technologies, the day will come very shortly, we think, within 1 to 2 years, when you'll be able to buy the entire ESP output on a set of DVDs.
Okay.
I'm talking now about Blu-ray and HD DVD, those two competing formats.
Right.
Which enable you to store a huge amount of content on a single DVD or pair of them.
Right.
And so we're heading that way right now.
Yeah, and are the albums selling through download? Do you have any statistics on, like, are they really selling through download?
They are selling. Records that are long since almost forgotten by us, records we have not reissued thus far, records from years and years ago, people are downloading them and playing and listening to them.
Right.
It's very exciting to us because it suggests that, and every month our activity grows. So I think downloading is certainly here to stay, and I think we will benefit considerably from it in terms of exposure of the music to a much broader audience, thanks to download.
Because I'm really amazed at the idea. Like, it's incredible. Because for me personally, the charm of ESP disc is the whole thing. You know, the package, the paper, the album cover.
The manifestation.
Yeah. So
well, it was true. I think it was very true in the LP era, but CDs are so small.
Of course.
You don't get a large. I don't see how you can get a great impact from a small CD.
Yeah.
That's part of our problem, I think.
Right.
But we will be putting out many more. We're going to put a lot more music out on DVD,
mm-hmm.
With videos.
Okay.
Films, videos. We're going very much into the DVD arena,
mm-hmm.
with our music.
Okay.
We hear totally, and that's part, the Dragon Theater is part of that, of course. But just from the ESP standpoint, we really believe it's desirable to have performance films and videos wherever possible.
All right. Okay.
So, let's talk again soon, Terrence.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes. Thank you so much. It was let me say it again. It's a great honor to talk to you, Bernard. The great Bernard Stallman, who started, the man who recorded Albert Eiler for the first time. And well, I wanted to speak to you also about Byron Allen, but maybe we'll do it through email. You know the saxophone player Byron Allen?
I can tell you this now. Byron Allen made one record, as you know, for the label.
It's called,
He's now a famous West Coast late night television personality.
Okay. Oh, he's alive?
He's alive, and he does television programs with personality, where he interviews prominent figures.
Really?
From the West Coast, yes.
And he doesn't play anymore music?
As far as I don't believe he plays at all.
Oh, okay.
He has a TV host.
Okay.
He's quite prominent, I believe, in that circle.
That's cool, that's cool. Are you in touch with him?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Because we felt he'd left music,
uh-huh.
and so we really wouldn't have very much to discuss with him.
Okay.
So I'd be very happy to talk with him, but again, he's not a current interest of ours in that regard.
Okay. Well, I would really like to get in touch with him and say and tell him how I appreciate his sound. Yeah.
I appreciate you would. I think you would find him just, if you look at Byron P. Allen, I think.
Okay.
On the web, you'll find his address and the show and all that stuff.
All right.
You can probably find him.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Well, okay then. Bernard, have a good evening. It must be evening there.
Just approaching dusk.
Okay.
It's here in New York.
In New York.
6 p.m.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
7 p.m. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, sure.
And we'll talk again soon. Okay, and we'll keep in touch through email.
I'd like that.
Okay.
I look forward to hearing you.
And thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Voilà, on va terminer l'émission avec un autre morceau de l'album Bells et Prophecy, les deux albums qui sont sortis sur un seul CD sur ESP Records, qui est en réédition. On écoute un morceau de cet album interprété par Albert Eiler au saxophone ténor, Gary Peacock à la contrebasse, Sonny Murray à la percussion. C'est un morceau de l'album Prophecy et s'appelle Ghosts First Variation de Albert Eiler, avec Albert Eiler, Gary Peacock, Sonny Murray sur ESP Records. Et avec ça, moi et Julien, on vous dit une bonne nuit
et à la semaine prochaine.
Et bon dimanche d'abord.
Bon dimanche aussi.
Et à la semaine prochaine. Et je compte faire les entretiens plus souvent avec les musiciens, les managers de labels.
En tout cas, c'était très instructif ce que vous avez raconté sur Jimmy Dix, entre autres.
Voilà. Alors, il faut écouter Terrence Free Jazz Hour tous les samedis sur Radio G 100.5 FM.
Et sur Internet.
tfgh.blogspot.com.
blogspot.com,
voilà, c'est ça. Là, vous allez sur la page de playlist et podcast, vous allez pouvoir écouter ce que vous avez pas eu le temps de écouter sur Radio G. Comme par exemple, vous êtes, c'est un samedi soir, si vous êtes dans un bar, vous écoutez pas l'émission, vous pouvez l'écouter, au milieu de la semaine quand je le mettrai sur l'internet. Voilà.
C'est génial.
C'est génial, la technologie.
Hein. Oui, c'est formidable.
Et avec ça, on vous souhaite une bonne nuit, bon dimanche, une autre fois, et à samedi prochain.
Voilà.
Et voilà, à bonne nuit avec Albert Eiler.
Voilà, goodbye. Thank you.
On continue à écouter Albert Ayler. Thank you.
I'm gonna go get some more.